Well, God bless each and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Today's Sunday, October the 15th, 2023. I know I've mentioned this on a number of occasions, but I believe it with all my heart, and that is that the more a person knows, understands and believes what God has done for them in the new birth, then out of love and gratitude, not duty, but out of love and gratitude, they will live their lives according to what God's word says. This morning, God loves you. In John 3, one of the most popular verses in the Bible, and it is just wonderful, and I know we've all read it. For God so, verse 16, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has a very deep love for human beings. I'm sure he's blessed with his other creation, you know, the whales and the birds, but he has a very deep love for human beings. And after the total devastation that happened to this earth, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I think you're familiar that verse 2 of Genesis 1, the earth, King James says, was, but it's very accurately understood as the earth became without form and void. That's not the way God originally made it. But after that great devastation happened, God set about to put things back into a workable order on this planet, Earth. And when everything was all set, the plants, the animals, the birds, the fish, when everything was all set, then human beings came on the scene. God formed, made, and created them. And human beings, they were very unique. Of all the creatures that God made, they were unique. God put his spirit in them. They had a body, they had a soul, and they had God's spirit. He also gave them dominion over all of God's creation, and they had access to the tree of life. They were designed to live forever. And then you know in Genesis 3, it tells us about how Adam disobeyed the one commandment that he had from God, and the consequences of Adam's sin ruined all that God had set in place for human beings. But because of God's great, deep love for human beings, God put a plan in place to legally redeem mankind, whereby human beings could obtain what God wanted all along, what God wanted from the beginning, and that was eternal life. Everlasting life. And here in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And isn't it remarkable that God made it so easy? You know, believe in Jesus, get born again, confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God made it so easy. But note his motivation. For God so loved the world, and the world there is not talking about the trees and the bees and the birds, and it's talking about people. God so loved human beings. He must have a fantastic love for human beings. He so loved the world. That was his motivation. And if you turn to the epistle of 1 John, all the way towards the back of the Bible, If you get to the book of Revelation, you went just a little too far. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody there? First, I'll wait till you get there. 1 John chapter 3. There you go. 1 John 3. Behold. Take a look at this. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What kind of love is this? It's big love, isn't it? Very big. After the fall, God could have just started all over and said, well, that's a mess. Give me the eraser. Let me hit delete. Where's control A? Delete. We're going to start over. He didn't, though, did he? God so loved people, human beings. So because of his love, human beings can have eternal life, and not only that, be children of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Sons of God, children of God Almighty. What love. Back up to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, it just kind of does something to you when you spend a little time focusing on God's love for you. It just kind of gives you peace. It just melts you to see that God, the Creator, just loves us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, look at this verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Mercy, as you know, is the withholding of judgment. It's where you deserve something, but you don't get it. You know, they ask for mercy in the courts. Judge would just like mercy. It's you deserve it, but you don't get it. That's mercy. And God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, and it says dead because we had no spirit life, hath quickened us, made us alive. We're born again ones, and we have the Spirit of God in us. We have spirit life. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 7. That in the ages to come, there are ages to come, God says. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Well, we've got rich in mercy, great love, and then the riches of his grace coming. What a God. What love. For by grace, verse 8, are you saved, through faith, believing, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Salvation's a gift. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Jesus. Boy, could he have made it any easier. Not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. What a God. What a hope we have. If you back up to Romans 5, good old Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. God loves you. What a God. Romans 5, verse 5. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. When we received the Spirit of God, His love was shed abroad in our hearts. Having the Spirit of God enables us to be able to manifest the love of God, which in the New Testament is that Greek word agape. Someone not born again cannot manifest agape. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Look at verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because of God's great love for human beings and Jesus Christ carrying out God's great plan of redemption and salvation, eternal life is now available. A person can get born again and then receive all the rights, the privileges, the abilities that comes with being born again, being a child of God, having all of that God's word says. And of course, that includes eternal life. What great love. You know, things that we look at from time to time and continue to remind ourselves that we are righteous in God's eyes, that we are forgiven, that we're delivered from the wrath to come. We have such a fantastic hope that we look forward to, that one day, and we're a day closer today, Jesus Christ is coming back and we're going to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be in our brand new bodies. What a hope we have. And all of that is because of God so loved people, human beings. God must be excited about the hope. Can't wait to get the family back together. Going to be the greatest family reunion ever. And it will last forever. We're going to, look at Romans 8 if you would. Two of Dave Carl's favorite verses. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded. And this is something we all should be very persuaded, convinced, absolutely locked in. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing you do will have God to love you more. Nothing you don't do will have God love you less. Nothing separates us from the love of God. God loves you. It's amazing because we know ourselves. You know? And sometimes you might find yourself having a day where you go, how could God love me? God loves you, and nothing is going to change that. Nothing. Our righteousness before him doesn't change. Nothing changes. 1 John, back to the epistle of 1 John, chapter 4 this time. The love of God. 1 John 4. There may be people that don't love you. There may be people that don't like you. But God loves you, period. And God sees us as his dear children. How special are we then to the Creator? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's his very nature. He is love. Isn't there another place in 1 John where it says God is light? His nature is light. His nature is love. His very nature. In this, verse 9, was manifested the love of God. How did God display or manifest this love that he is? In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And that live is not physical life. People were living when Jesus Christ came, right? Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life. Well, we're alive. So much bigger than that. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Let's read that again. And this was manifested, verse 9, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, have that eternal life. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. God's the prime mover of love. God's the one who initiated love, because he is love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In chapter 2 of this book, it says that Jesus Christ is the propitiation or the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. A total legal payment. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. There it is again. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God loves you. In chapter 5, not too far away, verse 11, chapter 5, 11. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, not in our good works, but it's in his Son. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Anyone in here believe on the name of the Son of God? Anyone in here believe in Jesus Christ? Well, yes. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why was it written to us? That you may know that you have eternal life. And the rest of that verse is not in the Greek text, because it says that, and that you may believe. Wait a minute, we already believe. It's written to people that believe. So it gets confusing. But if you just leave that out, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want us to guess. God doesn't want us to worry. God doesn't want us to wonder how to figure it out. This was written that we might know, those who believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Why? Because God loves you. And, you know, there's other places, where is it in Timothy? God would have everybody to get saved. Isn't that amazing? God would have everybody get saved. He must love human beings bigger than we can even imagine. You know, through the centuries, people have gotten saved that you never would have guessed. People who you probably would have never even prayed for them to get saved. I wonder if people prayed for Paul to die. Turned out to be such a great champion in the first century. But God wanted it, would like for all human beings to live forever. He must love human beings. How blessed we are to know God's love and that God loves you. And so we're going to close in chapter 4. But again, the more you know, understand, and believe what God has done for you and in you, then it's out of love and gratitude to him, not duty. Love and gratitude that we live our lives according to his word. Back again in chapter 4, let's start in verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that's not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. We have the ability to love with the love of God because the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we have that ability to love with the love of God. And that's different than, you know, that's in the Greek, it's agape. There's another kind of love, phileo. You know, that's brotherly love. Be nice. I'll be nice to somebody as long as they're nice back to me. And then if they're not, I ain't do nothing. Phileo love. And then there's the sexual love, which is eros. But we're talking about agape love, the love of God. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Well, of course it's of God. The verses that we've seen this morning, yes, God is love. Look at the love that God has toward us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Loving others is not our Christian duty. God says to do it, but we love others out of gratitude for God loving us and for what he's done for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And finally, verse 19, it says, we love him because we're supposed to. Because if we don't, we might not make it. That's religion. We love him because he first loved us. God initiated love. The word him there is actually not in the critical Greek text. We love because he first loved us. So in our day-by-day living, let's take every opportunity that we can to manifest the love of God to others. Because we can. See, and that's really that verse. We can. We have the ability. We can love because he first loved us. And let's always be mindful that even when we're having a lousy day, God still loves us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Nothing we earned, but something our Father really wanted. And the motivation for all that he's done with the plan of salvation and redemption, the whole motivation was love. God so loved. So Father, thank you for your great love, for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you, Father, for your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who carried out your great plan of salvation and redemption. And Father, now anyone can walk through the door. You made it so easy. Thank you for loving us in spite of us. Thank you, your love never ends. And thank you, Father, for giving us the ability to love with your love. And Father, as we wait for that great day when you send your Son back, may we be ever mindful of your love for us, and may we make every opportunity to love others as we have been loved by you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.